Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. My guest today is the writer Stuart Heritage. Stuart is a dad of two small boys, and when his firstborn was merely a few hours old, he started writing a column about fatherhood for The Guardian. Since then, he's written for The Esquire, The Times, and countless other publications. He's now about to publish his first children's picture book, Jonathan the Magic Pony, which is an utterly lovely and funny story about a pretty rubbish magician pony. It's set to be a firm favourite in many kids' bookshelves, trust me. I chatted to Stuart about how fatherhood is portrayed, both by writers like him, but also in children's TV shows like Peppa Pig. We also talk about him being a hands-on dad, doing exactly 50% of the parenting with his wife, Robin. He tells me about the amazement and praise that he receives when he's spotted out with his sons, yet, surprise, surprise, Robin doesn't get the same comments. I really enjoyed chatting to Stuart, and if you haven't read them already, I urge you to Google all of his old parenting columns. Only once you've finished listening to this episode, of course. Welcome to the podcast, Stuart.
Thanks for having me at last.
Yes, well, yes, you're not happy because I had your wife on quite a few years ago, didn't
years I? Years ago, yeah. And poor old me was flung to the ditches at the side.
Getting the raw end of the deal yet again. No, it's lovely to have you. And we're recording this remotely. Last time when I interviewed Robin, your wife, I came down to your home. Mm. And I think you only had your eldest son at that point. And
yeah, Robin was pregnant, wasn't she?
She was pregnant. She was very heavily pregnant.
That's right, yeah.
And I think he was at the Childminders and you were busy working from the shed at the bottom of your garden. Yeah. And me and Robin sat and had a nice cup of tea on your sofa and had a bit of a natter. But we're doing this remotely, so I wondered if you could set the scene for us and tell us where you are and what you can see around you.
I am in the aforementioned shed at the bottom of my garden. It is, we're recording this on, I think it's going to be the hottest day ever.
Yeah.
From what I, ever.
Hotter than the sun.
Literally hotter than the surface of the sun. And I've, to do this, I've had to turn off a fan and close my window. So I'm, if you can imagine kind of a sheen of sweat, that's only going to get bigger.
To be fair, I think that you've just described everybody in the UK today, just that sheen of sweat, especially parents who are running around after small children and bowing to their every demand and just getting hotter and hotter as they do it.
We've only just figured out how to connect a hose to fill a paddling pool because we couldn't find it for years. We couldn't find any sort of external hose. And we were just like, oh, why don't we just unplug the washing machine and just pipe water straight out into the paddling pool from there. And that is going to save my life this afternoon.
Oh,
that's my parenting shift is going to be this afternoon. So I'm just going to fill a thing with water and let them.
I think that is absolutely, that is the secret to surviving these days. My only problem with those days, though, is that I invariably can't find the paddling pool. And when I do find it, it's mouldy and it's got a hole in it.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, right, I'm going to quickly get one from Argos or, you know, the supermarket. But of course, everyone else
had the same idea. Yeah.
And it's like the empty shelf of doom where it's like, the paddling pools were here, not anymore.
I always do this every year when it gets to this sort of temperature. I think, I'm going to buy an air conditioning unit for my office. And I don't do it until it's the hottest day of the year. And there's never any.
Do you know what we should do? Set put a calendar reminder in for like the middle of November.
Yeah.
Which is like, buy a paddling pool, buy air conditioning unit. Because they're probably all going to be on sale then, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I don't know about you, but when I would just think that's ludicrous in November to be like, it's never going to be hot again.
Yes.
That all the hot weather in the future of the planet has already happened. I'm not going to waste my money on an air conditioner.
We basically need to be buying jumpers now, yeah. And air conditioners in November. That's what all the sensible people are doing. So you're a journalist, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're usually the one asking the questions. So
yes.
I want to know, is it weird being interviewed?
Yes. It's it's made me really appreciate the other end of the interview when I do interviews. Because I just think, oh, these people just want to talk about themselves. And they can't. But everything they say is potentially going to be on, like, their permanent record.
Yeah.
So there's a sort of a weight of responsibility that I didn't really realise until I've only done, like, a handful of interviews. But it's I tend to talk very slowly. I'm not doing it now purposefully, but because I'm thinking of every word and it has to be exactly right. But yeah, I it's my instinct here is to just ask you lots of questions.
Yeah, I find that on the odd occasion that I've been interviewed, like on a podcast or something, I do find myself slipping into interviewer mode sometimes. Like, so what about you? What do you think? And I'm like, no, come on. But also there's a pressure to kind of say interesting stuff. And like, you know, when you're asked a question, quite often you're put on the spot and you're thinking, I can't remember, you know, what was the last thing I ate? And it's like,
yeah.
My mind's gone blank.
And you're right, there is a demand to be sort of... I interviewed, like, I won't say his name, but he's like a real hero of mine. And he's a comedian, he's so funny. And all my questions, he was answering them so sort of earnestly and sensibly. I was like, no, please just be funny. And it's he was trying so hard to be a good interviewee. I just wanted him to muck around with me and make me laugh. And Yeah.
I think that can be really hard when you're being interviewed to kind of gauge what the tone is.
Yeah, it can be, and especially on like junket days where you just have you just have three solid days of answering the same questions. I try not to do them anymore because I hate them so much, because you only get like 6 minutes with the interviewee, and they are so sick of just saying the same thing over and over again. So nobody gets anything out of it. But I did one with Will Ferrell years and years ago, and he did like this drama. And so I thought, well, I'm gonna talk to you about drama and your acting process. And it was good. And then I was watching something like, it might have been Soccer AM, and just a man, his interview was dressed as an orange and was just screaming things. And I was like, oh, I could have just done that. It's yeah. Will Ferrell. That's yeah. a wasted opportunity.
It really was. But my only point of reference with those things is that scene. Is it Notting Hill where Julia Roberts' character is doing the junket and Hugh Grant goes in and says he's from Horse and Hound magazine? Like, that's my only... My only point of reference for those junket days. I've never ever been on one myself.
Oh, they are so no. Like everybody's stressed out because like if you get 30 seconds more, that's a huge comparatively. That's a huge percentage extra. But it also pushes everyone else back. If everyone sort of if they do 50 interviews and everyone takes an extra 30 seconds, that just adds up. And so all the PR people are losing their minds with stress, and all the film people are bored, and I'm, you know, kind of just trying to get something out of
yeah.
them. And like invariably, my first question is like, so tell me about the film. And they talk for 3 minutes, and that leaves me with a minute to be like, oh, and you just got divorced.
I think probably what the trick there is you say, so the film is about XYZ, and then you ask them a really interesting question.
You've been in this game longer than I have. Yeah, brilliant.
Come to me for any journalistic advice, Stuart, honestly. I'm here for you. So you've written about fatherhood for The Guardian, for Esquire, for loads of publications.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like to many who've had kids in the past 10 years or so, even though... your eldest is, what, is he six?
He's five and a half. Officially
so,
five and a half.
So you've been writing about fatherhood, I guess, since Robin was pregnant for the first time.
Yeah,
But to loads of us, my eldest is coming up for 10, but I still really kind of like see you as being the voice of dads.
Oh, well, that's a lovely thing to hear.
Well, I was going to ask you, how does that feel?
I don't know. I've never thought of myself as the voice of Dad before. It's quite nice, actually. It's what's lovely is I had a column in The Guardian. I wrote a feature about my wife's birth while I was walking home from the hospital afterwards. And that turned into a column. So I've been doing it exactly for as long as I've been a dad. And I've noticed all these people who had children around the same time as me started following me on Twitter and Instagram, and watching all their kids grow up as well. It's really lovely. Like on the first day of school, my Instagram feed was just people who read my column taking pictures of their kids in their school uniform for the first time. And that's nice. It makes you feel like you're part of a bigger thing. Because, you know, it gets a bit, especially in the early years, it's hard and it can feel a bit lonely. So just to feel like you're connected to other people going through the same thing, it's a nice feeling.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's why it's so important that we have people like you doing what you do, because, you know, it can feel so isolating, especially, like you say, in those early years where it's perhaps you and a small child and, you know, all you've got for company is Mr. Tumble on the telly. And that's quite hard day in, day out. So to have somebody, you know, writing about that experience and shedding a bit of light and humour and insight into it, I think it makes a huge difference.
Oh, that's good. That makes me feel... They're my favourite things I've ever written, the column. Because, I mean, I'm looking at it now. I put all of them in a box, in like a shoe box. So when my son's old enough that he can just go back and read what it was like.
That's so nice.
It's, yeah, and it's good. And what I enjoyed about it most was it kind of, and this, I would have concentrated on my kids anyway, obviously, but there is sort of the writer part of your brain is going, I've got to fill a column. So what are you doing that I can, I can fill 700 words with? And it does, it makes you very present.
Yes.
Because if I had just slung the telly on and just made them watch YouTube or something for the whole time, which I do quite a lot now.
Which, to be fair, that's like a completely valid parenting decision.
Yeah, but it would have made for a really boring column. Mm. Now I'm not writing regularly. I just let them, you know, whatever, play with knives.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed. Yeah.
So if you had to describe, if you had to sum up your experience of fatherhood so far in one sentence, what would you say?
It has, and I mean, it's trite to hear like this, but it has changed my life so entirely in sort of every respect. The weight of responsibility that you have for these things, the closest I've ever come to it before, I guess, and this is going to sound weird now I've said it like this, but it's like romantic relationships where you've been with someone and you're like, oh my God, I love you, this is great. But then you're also like, but you're an adult, so you can go and do stuff. But with a kid, you're like, oh, I love you, this is great. Oh, but if I don't feed you, you're going to die.
Yes.
So it's like, it's so all consuming. And it's affected my work, not only in the stuff I've written, but just my attitude towards it. We had our oldest when I was 34, I think, or 35. And up until that point, I'd just been so career focused, to sort of the detriment of everything else. But most of my ambition kind of within a month or two of him being born just sort of vanished.
Yeah.
And I just, my priorities just shift completely. I'd rather... I like having a career, but I don't want to be the best at the top of every level like I used to be. If I could make enough money to kind of feed my family and have enough time to see my family as much as I can, I think that's the real goal now.
Yeah. Do you think that becoming a dad has in any way made you a nicer person? I'm not saying you were horrible before, but yeah.
I'm a bit... It's made me quite ratty because they don't sleep. They don't sleep. My oldest was up at... It was before 5 o'clock this morning because just the sun was streaming in and he was like, the sun's up. And I was like, that doesn't mean it's waking up time. You try and go back to sleep. And then he wouldn't. And he's very... he's sneaky. Like, he'll come in, he'll give you a kiss, and he'll tell you how much he'll love you. And you'll be like, oh, that's nice. And then I'll be like, so, the thing about Sonic the Hedgehog is straight without even pausing a breath. And I'll be like, oh, God. And if like, you know, when you wake up and you're like, it could be very, very early in the morning, or it could be midday. Yeah. I can't even. He does that. And he gets to you before you can adequately work out what time it is in the morning. So you're sort of awake and ready to go.
But in a way, that's kind of a skill that really, that's pretty impressive that he's got.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's master manipulator.
There are so many things in parenting that you think, right in this moment, I just don't appreciate this. But actually, I'm quite impressed that you thought
of
that. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. My youngest is 2. He's just coming up for 3. He'll be 3, I think. Well, I know when he'll be 3.
When's his birthday?
It's in a week and a half.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's soon. I know when it is. I'm a good dad. But he was doing a thing. He especially under lockdown, they're winding each other up a little bit. And he got loads of Play-Doh and he just smashed it up and he was throwing it at his brother, going, "Who wants a slice of pizza?" And like, I knew it was a naughty thing to do and I knew it was upsetting his brother a lot, but it was so like so cheeky. I couldn't properly admonish him because I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. You're telling a joke. You're being mean in a funny way. This is, your life is set.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm taking a short pause on this episode to tell you about an incredibly exciting project that I've been working on. I've written a children's story with Hip Organic, and it's part of a brilliant book called Where the Little Things Are. Each story in the book focuses on a different creature, which plays an important role in maintaining nature's ecosystems and helping the fruit and veg grow that goes into Hip Organic baby and toddler food. My story is Spiky Mikey, all about a hedgehog who ventures out when it's dark to seek out slugs, snails and other pests which can damage plants and crops. My toddler twins have loved me reading the book to them. The absolutely genius thing about Where the Little Things Are is that the front and back covers of the book are embedded with seeds. They can be removed, planted in the garden, and you can watch plants grow. Plants that have been chosen especially because they help to sustain the wildlife featured in the book. It's a really lovely way to teach your kids about nature and putting good stuff back into the earth, as well as taking stuff out of it that you can eat. This is something that Hip Organic are passionate about. They're committed to sustainable farming, only taking from nature what they can put back in. I planted the seeds with the help of my 9-year-old and I found it a great way to kickstart conversations about sustainability and the environment. Although you might find your children teaching you a thing or two, because research done by Hip Organic shows that more than half of parents think their children have a better understanding on how to protect the environment than they do. So, if you'd like to be in with a chance of getting a copy of Where the Little Things Are, there are 700 books being given away. Just head to hip.co.uk before the 31st of August, where you can enter to win a copy of the book. I'm so excited for you to meet Spiky Mikey and his pals. You seem like quite a hands-on dad. Do you get lots of comments from like passing old ladies saying, oh, you're so good?
Loads.
Like when you're just doing basic parenting
doing
stuff.
Doing nothing, yeah.
And I'm guessing that Robin, your wife, just doesn't get the same level
of praise.
No,
she doesn't. She doesn't. We, early on, I mean, it still happens. I live quite near a beach. I'm taking the kids to the beach a lot in the early morning before it fills up. And I always see these two old couple walking. They just walk up and down the beach together. It's lovely. But I think the old lady might be quite dotty because she sees me like maybe two or three times a week. And every time she sees me, it's like it's the first time she's met me. And she always says what a good dad I am. And one time I was literally, I was playing Candy Crush on my phone. And the kids were just trying to suffocate each other in the sand. And I was like, no, I am a good dad. You're right. Thank you. But early on, it happened. I was walking through the just sort of down the high street with my oldest in a carrier, and I heard an old lady go, "Oh, where's the mum?" And Robin was literally, she was walking next to me.
Oh my goodness!
I know. Which I think it's hilarious. I think it's wrong that it happens that you get praise so much, but I'm absolutely going to take all the praise because I'm needy. If you're giving it, I'm going to take it. As a society, we shouldn't, but it happens, so I'll do it.
It's funny, I was chatting to an expert the other day about potty training, and she kept saying mum, like, so when potty training, what mums all often find is, and I really wanted to say to her, but what about dads who are potty training? But I feel like it's so ingrained in so many of us to assume
it is,
that
yeah.
mums do all the hard work when it comes to the kids.
And I'm quite sensitive to that because I do... But well, we in terms of childcare, me and my wife, we split the day exactly in half. So we each work for exactly the same amount of time. We each look after the children for exactly the same time, same amount of time. And so I'm always, when something's just sort of pitched to mums, I'm always like, but I do that too. That's not, come on. Yeah. It's, I mean, I think it's definitely changing, but it's changing slowly. I am the, I'm sort of the designated school WhatsApp guy here. So I'm... It's me, and I'm the only dad on it, and like I don't like WhatsApp groups very much because it's just like your phone is constantly just going brruh, 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 and it's sort of, you know, things that people could Google anyway.
Can I give you a tip on that?
Oh yeah.
Turn WhatsApp notifications off. Just turn them off.
Oh, can you do that?
Just yes!
Switch them off completely.
Switch them off. So basically, I only know that someone has sent me a WhatsApp message if I go into WhatsApp and then they're
wow.
all there. And obviously, I go in and there's like 300 messages waiting for me, but then I can choose whether to read them or not. But I feel like that is kind of...
That's basic stuff. I should know that.
Everyone needs to turn off their WhatsApp notifications.
Because it's just like... I like it because I don't... Especially with all the lockdown going on, because I don't see the other parents very often, but they do all start all of their like conversations with "Hey ladies," and I'm like, "But I'm here too." When they're sort of saying, "I'm going to put this dress on Facebook Marketplace, but I wanted to see if any of you wanted it."
You know what you should do in that situation? Just reply with the aubergine emoji, like three aubergines.
Oh no!
Every time.
Oh no.
Gentle reminder that you're there.
I think that if I'd started doing that to 20 mums at once, I would be very quickly carted away.
I think the police would be knocking at your door. So how do you feel about, you know, like the portrayal of dads on things like Peppa Pig? How do you feel about that?
I think it's changing. I think it's becoming a bit more sort of fairly portrayed. Peppa Pig's quite an extreme example, and I haven't watched Peppa Pig for a while, so I don't know if it's changed.
I don't know, to be honest. We watch it on Netflix, where it's the really early ones
from
12 years ago, and Daddy Pig is portrayed quite badly as a bit of a buffoon.
Yeah, he's lazy and he's clueless and he doesn't know how to look after his kids. But I think it's changing. With all the CBeeb stuff, certainly is very fair-handed. They don't have a clueless dad, I think, across the entire CBeeb's channel.
Is that right? I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, you might be right, actually.
If there is, I can't think of it. I guess The only, like, there's a, like, Waffle the dog, Waffle the Wonder Dog, or
Waffle
whatever
doggy.
It's called. Waffle Doggy, yeah. I think the dad's a bit sort of dotty in there, but all the characters are. I don't think he's an especially sort of negligent dad.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No, but, I mean, if it is changing, then that's good, because it does feel, whenever I watch Peppa Pig and, you know, there's Daddy Pig kind of making some awful mistake, it is like, oh, come on, you know, that's not really what... you know, dads are about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've written and contributed to books in the past, but you've actually written a children's book now.
Yeah.
What made you decide to make the move into writing a kid's book?
Well, I've sort of, there are two parts of the answer. The first one is years and years and years ago, literally, I think within the first few months of me meeting Robin, I used to do this thing, and I still do it because I think at heart I am a very obnoxious person, where I would just try and say something awful to make her laugh. And we were in a bookshop and we walked past the kids and I was like, oh, I could do that. That's easy. I'll write a book called Jonathan the Magic Pony. And they were just the first words I could think of because they sounded like the stupidest combination of words I could think of. And it really made Robin laugh. And every now and again, whenever I've complained about work, she's gone, why don't you write Jonathan the Magic Pony? Why don't you do that? And I didn't pay any attention to her for years and years. And then when my son was born, and I read to him, you know, every night or whenever I'm doing bedtimes, half of the nights of the week, I very quickly learned the things he liked in a book and the things he didn't like in a book, and just in terms of like vocabulary and repetition and stuff, and the surprises that made him laugh, and I got a good feeling for the books that he liked and the books he didn't. So I thought, what if I could try and pack in all the stuff that he specifically likes into a story? So I told him it, and I figured the Jonathan thing because it was the front of my mind, and I figured out what made him laugh and what made his sort of eyes glaze over. Very sort of unwitting manipulation audience research,
yes.
Kind of. Now I'm saying it out loud. but yeah, I went through drafts and drafts and drafts of this book, and it's very simple. It's about like a stupid pony who isn't a very good magician. But just, I went over it, over it, and over it again and honed it until almost every single word he reacted positively to. It's a way for me to write about him in a way, but without writing about him. I'm writing for him.
I love that you've basically taken a private joke and turned it into a book that is specifically aimed at making your child happy. So that's just like the nicest kind of inspiration that I've heard for writing a book. It's nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, and it's been fun as well. It's he is sick of it now. He's completely sick of that book. I wrote it. It's been like for a book that's 500 words long, it's been 2 years, I think.
Wow.
2.5 years. And it's only just coming out this month.
And the illustrations are lovely.
Aren't they beautiful?
Where did you even start kind of choosing an illustrator? Was it somebody that you knew already? Or did you get given like a catalogue of people? Or
Apparently this is how publishers do it. I had no idea. When I look at the first draft of it, it is such a mess. I didn't know children's books are primarily 32 pages long.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just it's an economic thing. It's two sort of pieces of 8 papers.
Oh.
So they're all like a standard page format, which I didn't know, so I had to squash it in. And the publisher likes to, especially with new writers, set you up with illustrators, and I really, the sort of how collaborative kids books are compared to adult books is fantastic.
It must have been quite exciting to almost like see the characters come to life, because you know, until that point they were just words and you probably had a bit of an idea in your head what they might look like, but then to see it come back fully illustrated must have been really exciting.
Oh, it's so exciting. And there is, like, I think I might be, for most parts of my life, a bit of a control freak, and I like everything done the way I like it to be done. But with this, there was a sort of an element of having to just completely give it to Nicola and be like, you can do anything you want, because this is my first book, and she's drawn, illustrated tons and tons and tons of stuff. So she's the expert. So whatever, like, however it comes back, I'm going to sort of give her free rein on it. All I know, there's one raccoon in it, and she hates drawing raccoons. That's all I know. So if we do more books, no raccoons.
So would you like to do more? Is that the plan that you'd like
yeah.
to?
Yeah. Well, there's in next month, it's Puffin's 80th anniversary, or it was in May. And they had a book that got pushed back because of the outbreak.
Yes.
And it's an anthology of lots of writers who've all written new stories for the books. And I'm in it. And like everyone, not new writers, all of them. There's like Roald Dahl. They've dredged up something from Roald Dahl and Dick King Smith. And just every possible author that you've ever liked as a kid is in this book. It's crazy. It's called The Puffin Book of Big Dreams. And I wrote a story for that about... It's basically about my kids, but I've turned them into dogs for it, so they don't grow up and sue me. That's being turned into a picture book as well. So that's...
Wow.
There's going to be more. And with Nicola illustrating them as well, so I'm very happy.
That's really, really cool. And nurturing creativity in your kids is something that's important to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you do that with your sons?
They're both enormous chatterboxes to the point that I think possibly our marriage is falling apart because we never speak to each other. We get like half an hour at the end of the day where we just tell each other what happened, because the rest of the time it's just our kids telling us stuff. And which is annoying in the moment, but it's really just... allowing them space to just rabbit on about whatever they want is very creative. I think my oldest is at a point where he loves telling stories and he loves drawing. And he said, this is a lovely thing, he says he wants to be a book writer when he's older.
Aww.
But then he also told me he wants to be a beatboxer as well. So
he could do
both.
There's,
there's no money in either of those two things. So he's going to be living at home till he's 40. But he's always telling stories, and he likes to tell his own bedtime stories now, which firstly, he's got no original characters, which is going to be a rights issue. They're all about Mario and Sonic and the Avengers. And he works himself up into such a state when he's telling them that he'll like get up and he'll like run around the bed and be like, and then a tornado comes and then Sonic's like, pah! And he's the good stories. They all end in like the world breaking in half, which is slightly dark. But I'm very aware that I shouldn't shut him up when he's in the middle of that sort of thing. I should let him go and tell his story as much as he can.
That's amazing though, and I think that's such a common thing to do for kids, to latch on to the characters that they know already and, you know, turn them into stories. I remember when I was about 11 or 12, there was a book series for teens called Sweet Valley High and Sweet Valley Twins.
Yeah.
And it was huge and I was really into it, and I started writing my own Sweet Valley High book, and I probably only got two chapters into it, and I was there on like my word processor because it was like the 90s. But I just feel like that's something that should absolutely be encouraged in young kids. And
yeah,
you know, like just making up a story about Sonic or about Mario or whatever. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's really, and that's how it starts. I mean, look, your Sweet Valley High fan fiction thing turned out very well.
I might go back to it.
Publish it online. That's how they made 50 Shades of Grey, wasn't it? That was a Twilight fan fiction.
Yes.
So just go back, make it very, very dirty, and then you've got a blockbuster on your hands.
Yeah, well, I think I'll need to dig out that old word processor from somewhere, from the loft.
Was it one of those ones that had a little tiny rectangular screen?
Yes, it did. And it was kind of a black screen with green writing on
it. Yeah. I had one of those at university when all my friends had PCs, and I was just impossible to write with.
Yeah, totally impossible. Oh. But better than a typewriter, which a few years earlier would have been the only option. So.
Yeah.
Lastly, Stuart, where can people find you online if they want to hear more from you about fatherhood and life and everything else that goes with it?
Oh, I guess Twitter and Instagram are the best for that, because I tend to link needily to everything I ever write. Yeah, Stu Heritage on both.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today. You are now officially allowed to open the windows in your shed and let the air back in and breathe a sigh of relief.
I'm going to open my window and wring out my T-shirt and then put it back on.
What a nice image you're leaving everyone with. Thank you, Stuart. It's been so great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.